You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello. Hi, welcome to the Yes, I Am Still Sober podcast. Nope, I didn't do the contraction. It's Yes, I'm Still Sober. Yeah, I am still sober. Sí, estoy sobrio. Like, it doesn't matter. Welcome to my podcast. Again. Da, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Hi, guys. Hope you're enjoying your quarantine still. Maintaining sanity. Found some a new show to watch, hopefully. Or, you know, maybe you started reading a book. Reading. I'm actually trying to do that. I'm actually sitting there going, you know what? No more fucking around on the Xbox. I'm gonna read. That's what I'm gonna do. Tomorrow I'm gonna start reading. I am exercising pretty well, though. I am doing continuing my regimen of, like, got little dumbbells and, 100 push-ups every other day, that kind of shit. You know, just doing whatever. I'm actually keeping that up. So that's impressive to me. I have a couple of you guys I know do crazy CrossFit shit, and but you know, it's all relative. To me, that's impressive that I'm able to do that. So I hope you're impressing yourself a little bit in your boredom. I have some had some good news, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, it depends. No, it's good, because the only reason I'm trying to do any kind of work is, you know, like, I think for the same reason everybody wants to work, not just for money, but also to give you something to do. Sisyphus needs his boulder to push. And I have a friend who hired me for some part-time work. Dishwashing. I'm actually washing dishes again. And I'm so happy. I don't have to deliver burritos to UT students. Or, you know, more often than not, delivering booze to the people who desperately need the largest jug of Everclear you can purchase. You know, I don't know. I that was fine. I'm glad to be washing dishes, even though it's by hand, and it's a part-time gig, and that's fine. It's just giving me something to do. It's just just a few hours for a few days a week. You know, and it's great. It's interesting, though, because, my friend who hired me, I know her, you know, and she's technically my boss, but I consider it contracting work, really, much like all jobs to me. But, so I'm just going to contract it out and helping them out. But I don't, you know, the thing is that we're all wearing bandanas or masks and doing what work we can, like every other place, you know, it has takeout stuff. It's a bakery takeout. And the thing is that I don't know. I've never been in this situation where I have no idea what any of the people I work with look like. And I've never been in this position before. They were all just kind of in there. You know, and I got a general idea, but everyone's faces are covered, and I don't see any of them leave. I don't see even any of them show up. I see them when they come in, you know, practicing, you know, this safety precautions and everything, and then I leave because I just work for a few hours, and I never see their faces. So it's almost like, you know, hey, just washing dishes for Antifa here. Good luck at the rally. Like, I have no idea. We're all just kind of in there. Just, you know, all keeping it, you know, it's like watch one of those episodes of, like, Doomsday Preppers, and people are, like, hiding their identities because they don't want the government to know who they are. you know, who's going to, you know, who's included in the big schemes to, you know, for the apocalypse or whatever the fuck. It feels that same kind of way. It's like, you know, John, you'll be working with these people. This is Dave, like with air quotes. I'm like, oh, is that really their name? Like all of a sudden, like everybody I'm working with has an alias because I don't know. I have no idea. Could not pick them out of a lineup. It's a very odd situation. So I'm really happy about that, though. It's just I've done two shifts, and it's going to work out, you know, for however long it needs to work out. And it gives me something to do because I'm collecting unemployment and then, you know, unemployment adjusts depending on how many hours you work, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so this is really just to give me, you know, like I said, allow me to push a boulder up a hill. The thing about it is I got my second unemployment direct deposit, and it included that $600 bonus that the federal government's adding to unemployment to help, you know, adjust for whatever. And it just seems excessive. It's, you know, it's like, oh, well, this takes care of, you know, I know I'm going to be fine. Like, I know even with working and everything, you know, with a little bit of work or no work, like if anything dries up for the, you know, my immediate needs are taken care of. So that's, you know, that's a load off my mind until we get back to a functional normal. I don't know, a new normal. But the thing about it is that it really kind of, because you always, people who argue against welfare, it almost solidifies one of their arguments, because as soon as you get paid unemployment, your immediate reaction is like, well, I'm not looking for a job. You know, I'm good now. Like it's almost human nature to go, ah, like it's as opposed to desperation where you're like, fucking, you know, trying to, you know, send as many, you know, resumes and applications as you can. And so it's just kind of weird to have, like Greg Abbott, the idiot, who's our governor. No, he's not an idiot. The lieutenant governor is the idiot. Greg Abbott's the crook. Anyway, the crook was on TV, letting us know, the state of Texas, that, you know, there are 500,000 jobs just waiting for you on, I guess, work in Texas or just wherever. I don't know where he got that number, because I've looked through most of them, and it's not 500,000. I don't know where, what kind of statistics he did to come up with that number. I didn't look, but it's just, it's funny to me, because with these bonuses and everything, you know, trying to stimulate the economy, I guess, or, you know, keep everybody, it's like hey, we've got 500,000 jobs just waiting for you. No, that's all right. I think I don't want to get a job and take a pay cut. That's what it feels like, because I've seen the job listings, and it's less money than I'm making now doing nothing. So it's not really that encouraging. Also, you know, their job, are there 500,000 actual jobs, or there 500,000 job listings? I don't know. I didn't research enough to further this bit. This discussion, I did not do the research, much like everybody else who talks online. Holy shit, do people talk online? My God, like these fucking protesters. You know, I'm done with referring to, I'm done with referring to people as lumping them all as conservatives or just as, or as liberals, because it's just, there's a lot of degrees, right? And so I don't want people who consider themselves to be conservative to feel like they've got to join these idiots, like because you believe in safety, suddenly you're supporting liberals. Like, to politicize this bullshit is fucking infuriating to me. But these idiots, man, just, you know, they're just protesting, you know, there's like tyranny. I'm like, tyranny? The guy you like is in charge. He's making this decision. He's like, state tyranny. Federal government's kind of cool. Like, but not really. It's like, who are you mad at? It's like, we want to work. You know, look, we all want to work. It's just, just completely ignoring why. Like, people are just, you know, like being told, you know, shutting jobs down, like calling it oppression is a fucking joke. It's the most ridiculous thing I've seen. It's just nuts. I had to go look at something because I was thinking about these people who are protesting. And it's a very small group. And, you know, looks like it's heavily organized, like by a very tiny group that just are getting people riled up. And it's funny to me because it kind of reminds me of, because it's the thing that they're arguing is like the numbers that I've seen it, like, it's like, you know, it's only 0.09% of the people, like one poster in one state was that 0.09% of the state has coronavirus. And it's like, well, yeah, the reason that is because all you fucking assholes are at home. That's why. Texas's lieutenant governor was Dan Patrick, the dipshit. He's the one who's like, yeah, I told you, blah, we can't, economy, which he sounds when he talks about how, like, you know, the economy and we got to save the economy and, you know, lives, like, then that, yeah, like the immediate recovery of the economy is more important than people's lives. He reminds me, he's actually worse than, but he reminded me of the, I had to push pause on this because I wanted to save it. I was like, what is the fucking guy's name? The mayor in the Amity Island in Jaws, the mayor. His name's like Larry Vaughn. That's what I looked up. Not that that's important, but I'm that kind of a crazy person that I'm like, I got to know what the character's name was. His name was Larry Vaughn. Anyway, Mayor Vaughn, you know, wouldn't shut down the beach. Even like, okay, so the skinny dipping chick gets eaten, right? And they're like, ah, maybe it was a boating accident. But there was no boat. It's a boating accident. So they don't do anything. Then the kid gets eaten. Still doesn't shut down the beach because he's worried about the economy. You know, it's spring break. It's a lot of money. You can't shut down the whole beach. So they put in safety restrictions, right? They kind of like, safe. And which is funny because, okay, so the two people are dead and all these motherfuckers still go to the beach. It's crazy. It's a movie, but still, it's a really good representation of us as a society. So, and it takes until finally a third person dies and they finally shut the shit down. And if this was the same scenario, if these people, you know, were in Jaws, what would happen then would be that people would protest wanting the beaches open because only three people have died. It's like, the rest of us are fine. Come on. You know, shark only eats one person a day. Oh, and the rest of us want to swim. So, it's good logic. Good. Good. Just the idea that I told you so. He's like, see, you know, it's not as, you know, people are overreacting. Yeah, it's not as bad as people's fears made it out to be because we're all fucking staying at home. What's going to happen when we all go back out there? Well, shit's going to go to the small towns. I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess. I guess we're going to see what happens. As we slowly reopen, have a pretty good summer, then fall and flu season hits, and then it comes back with flu season. Let's see what happens. It's kind of scary. It really is. It's weird, the justification, because, you know, so many people act like they know what's going to happen. And it's like, these are people who we've heard these people talk shit about politics like they know politics, and they don't. And yet they know even less about medical shit and viruses. They know even less than they do about politics. They certainly don't know. They don't even believe in science. And they don't know. They don't have a medical degree. So they know even less than the already shit that they don't know. Like, they already didn't know before, but this, they really don't know. So it's just, and they want to fire the one guy, you know, one of the few guys that do know. People are like, it's scary. It's not scary. It's stupid. It's a stupid time we live in. Just watch people be idiots. And man, there was a guy who posted, it was in Ohio, and he posted like on Facebook about how, we're we can do what we want, you know, and adults, and it's a free country. And you know, you want to stay home, stay home. But the rest of us are going to go out. That guy died of COVID-19 complications like a month later. And, you know, not that he cares, but man, don't. This is why you don't want to post online. This is why you don't want to post on social media. You don't want to fucking do that. Don't, you don't want to set yourself up to die of irony. I don't want to die of irony. No ironic deaths, please. It's not a way to go out. You guys missed a worrisome coughing fit. Brought on by vaping. You're not still vaping. Goddamn right I'm still vaping. I gotta have nicotine, man. Anyway, I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm watching out for myself. I don't want to harp on it, even though I've been talking about, you know, we've all been thinking about it, watching idiots, and nobody knows what's going to happen and all that other stuff. I can tell you this, it's weird to disregard like numbers. I mean, it's I get it. I get looking at numbers like death toll instead of by context, by individuals, and how much it impacts. And to look at a total and then look at the comparisons of, you know, the amount of people that die from other ways. But at some point, the one thing that really kind of bugs me is when people think that the flu is worse than COVID-19. Because what they're doing is they're looking at a statistic that in 2017-18 flu season, 60,000 people in the United States died during flu season. 60,000. And but they're not doing good math, because flu season spread out over several months. All right? And we've had over 40,000 people die in America of related to COVID-19. So it's 20,000 less, but what's that, 2 months? Like the majority in a month, but like in over 2 months, it's a 2 months time, that's how many. So if you're doing math, this is how many people have died with all us fucking staying at home. That's us being at home, not being out, you know, fucking around in the bar. And dance clubs and, unfortunately, comedy clubs and all that other shit. So, and also it's way more contagious than the flu. So it's just, you really need to just kind of go, really? With people. Because they're just looking at numbers. And that's another thing that, so, you know, it bugs me when people don't know anything about, you know, like I have a degree from WebMD. Like, they don't know. They don't know anything about medical shit. And they sure as shit don't know anything about statistics and math. I know how bad most of you motherfuckers are at math. So if you start running numbers by me, I'm like, no. Stop right there. Obviously you're having problems with division. You know, total number of people divided by months. It's just that's enough of that. But I will say this: if you're looking to keep yourself from being bored and you like to do a lot of drugs, be careful. Especially if this is for people listening to me who are local. My locally sourced fans here in Austin, Texas, and the surrounding areas, there have been 5 people who have OD'd in this area based on counterfeit pills. Specifically, I saw the news article yesterday. Specifically, it's OxyContin and Xanax. They're both counterfeit. Oxy and Xanax. The counterfeit Oxy is blue and has the has an M imprint in it. And you're wondering, do people who are popping pills actually follow a Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast? They might. But moreover, I'm telling you guys so that if you know somebody, because you probably know somebody, but let them know the Oxys, if they're blue and they have an M as in Mary imprinted in it, and then the Xanax is most likely white, and it's actually got the number 63722 implanted in it. Basically, if you know people who are getting pills without a prescription, they're counterfeit and they're bogus, and it's our old friend fentanyl. And 5 people have died already, and that's not counting how many people have OD'd and survived. But that's the I don't know what the other numbers were. I think it was like 10 to 15 people in Williamson County had been sent to the hospital, but no deaths. But 5 in Travis. So I wanted to spread that out there that that fentanyl's still out there, and it's still you know. People are still trying to make money. Also, this is random, but I want to get this in here before I get out of here. I think this is I don't mind talking shit every once in a while, but I do every once in a while, instead of just talking shit and calling people dumb, I do like to have a hot take. I don't particularly enjoy hot takes from other people, and so I rarely have them. But today I have a hot take. And it's this. I think that Quibi is trying too hard. I really do. I think anybody that's trying that hard, it reeks of desperation. And nobody wants to download your app, Quibi. I get it. Like, it's some of the trailers for their little mini shows, their ADD series, little mini episodes. Why didn't they just make them and sell them to an already existing platform? Is anybody out there, like, would you? I was already not going to download Quibi. And then I found out that they want you to pay for it. Are you out of your goddamn mind? And it's just, I can't do it. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't understand why they didn't just produce the stuff and then, you know, sell it to the already existing platforms. But no, this fucking guy, this 70-year-old, I don't remember his name, but he's like, He got like what, $1.5 billion to invest in content for this app that nobody's downloading and nobody's going to pay for. It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic to watch it fail. Like, just, it's going to be a show. Just think about that, the amount of money that just invested in a poor idea. It's hard to wrap my mind around. That's a lot of goddamn money for a fucking app that shows 10 to 15 minute episodes with major stars that their big thing is that you watch it and you can turn your phone sideways and you can watch it like widescreen, like normal shit, or you can watch it, turn it vertical. Why would you want to do that? Why would you spend extra money to film something so that you can see it tall ways or sideways, like full on video, like widescreen TV, but vertical, but it was shot that way? Like, why would you spend that money, but it can't cast to a TV or to any other place? What are you doing? Oh, Jesse, you know, think about every shitty idea you've had. Now imagine one of those shitty ideas getting funding. Imagine getting one of your terrible ideas funded, and you think, well, it must be a great idea. There's money behind it. And then you go ahead and you finish making your yoga studio for dogs, right? Or whatever, you know, you make your display of your art display of you know, sculptures you made from fruit. And you think, oh, this will bring people in, or whatever it is your business idea is, or, you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, your art installation, and you think it's a great idea, and it just bombs publicly. Like, all that money's gone, and everybody watched you fail. Now, imagine that. Man, that would suck. I hope at least that the guy is embezzling some of this money, because it's going to tank like a motherfucker. But anyway, if you like it, hey, I hope Quibi makes it. It won't. All right, I didn't really have anything else, I think. I just wanted to take up about 30 minutes of your time, and I seem to have done that. And I feel better. I hope you feel better. You guys have a good week. Stay safe out there. Stay sane out there. And if you're trying to stay sober, stay sober out there. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you guys next week. Later.